From KXCV KRNW, it's Now Showing with your host, Patty Hawley.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for Now Showing. On today's program, a female blues group makes a stop in St. Joseph on its final tour. Jazz students at Northwest Missouri State University gear up for their first concert of the season. And a young organization is trying to connect people with the music and poetry of Missouri. We'll have those stories, plus Dr. Carol Fry's movie review on today's Now Showing. Sapphire, the uppity blues women, will be performing in St. Joseph this Saturday. Christina Lund is the executive director of the Performing Arts Association in St. Joseph. She says this concert will be a special one.
It is part of their farewell tour, Our Stop, and they have quite the following. I don't know if you would call it so much an underground groupie situation, but they are plentiful and they are coming from all over. We received a large group of reservations from New Mexico this past week, and the ladies, you know, they're still in their prime. No health issues or anything, but a couple of them have thought about going out on their own. And as I had said, this is a farewell tour for the group, so definitely a must-see. Another exciting addition to that concert, we have an opening act that evening. His name is Roddy Barnes. He was born in Iowa. His family currently resides in Tarkio, Missouri. And Roddy is a past student, a former student of Missouri Western State University. So we're very excited to have him opening for the ladies. They have been friends for quite a while now, and when one of the Sapphire Uppity Blues women did become ill in recent years, Roddy actually stepped in, and they continued the threesome, and they continued their tour.
Will Roddy be playing blues music as well?
He will. He is a blues musician, and we will enjoy his stylings. They are similar to Sapphire. It does have that gentleman's voice, and then we will just enjoy the blues music that he presents.
What about Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women? What can we expect from them? I know they're a blues group, but for people who have never heard of them or heard them perform, can you tell me what we might expect from them?
Well, that first-rate musicianship, they mix it well, equal parts of sass, soul, and humor. They've unleashed unforgettable originals, confused with humor, poignancy, and then alongside definitive versions of classic blues songs. With Sapphire, during the course of their 25-year career, words like fearless, inspiring, witty, joyful, and powerful have been used to describe the group. They're smart, they're sassy, and they have deeply emotional blues. Having the last word will be their final declaration together as Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women. The group has decided it's time to move on so they can pursue their own individual interests, but pianist, guitarist, vocalist Ann Rabson and guitarist, harmonicist, vocalist Gay Adagbolola and multi-instrumentalist vocalist Andrea Fay, they have so much to say in having the last word. We're very excited to have the group.
Christina Lund is the executive director for the Performing Arts Association in St. Joseph. The PAA presents Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. at the Missouri Theater at 719 Edmund Street in St. Joseph. The Northwest Jazz Ensemble and the Studio Jazz Ensemble will be in concert Monday evening. Dr. William Richardson is Associate Professor of Music at Northwest Missouri State University. He says the concert will be a brief history of jazz.
We're probably not hitting everything. We're not getting some real authentic early jazz, but we're going through cool jazz and bebop, the big band era, and you know, maybe even some 1970s funk and that kind of thing. So it should be a real kind of, there's a wide variety in the music for this time.
So there will be two ensembles performing, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. The Studio Jazz Ensemble, it's basically our second jazz ensemble, and they play very, very well. And they rehearse on Mondays and Wednesdays at 1. And they'll start off the concert. I think they're going to do 5 compositions. Then there will be a really brief intermission, and we'll bring on the Northwest Jazz Ensemble, and they'll be closing out the rest of the concert. And so we're really excited about it. We hope everybody can come out and hear the groups play.
How does this help the students to perform in settings like this?
Well, in instrumental and vocal music, a lot of what we do is very, very goal-oriented. Obviously, we concern ourselves with the process and how we get information across in rehearsals, but there's always a concert to be gearing for. And so it's a really good experience. It teaches, a lot of our education majors, music ed majors, it teaches them, you know, we set the calendar, we gear towards this particular concert, and we try to choose literature wisely that the groups can handle and that they'll do well at but are still challenging, and go from there.
Do you have a favorite part of this concert, something you're really looking forward to and can't wait to perform?
Part of the fun of doing jazz ensemble concerts is the improvisation element. It's one of these weird kind of ironic things with jazz music. We have to practice being spontaneous. And improvisation isn't really, it's not really making up melodies at the gig. You know, there are some preconceived ideas and some patterns that people use and those kinds of things. But that's a fun part about all of it. Aside from that, I'm really a fan of a couple of the bebop tunes that we're doing with the jazz ensemble. Those are a lot of fun. And then with the Studio Jazz Ensemble, we're doing a song by Victor Lopez called Caribbean Dance. And that's a lot of fun. It's a real toe-tapper. So we have a good time with those. And I guarantee that people will leave whistling a tune or tapping their feet to something.
Dr. William Richardson is Associate Professor of Music at Northwest Missouri State University. The jazz concert will be Monday, October 12th, beginning at 8 p.m. in the Charles Johnson Theater on the Northwest Campus. Missouri Verses and Voices is a young program that's trying to connect students and audiences with the poetry and music of Missouri. Dr. David Benz is the Director of Choral Activities at Missouri Western State University and one of the founders and Executive Director of Missouri Verses and Voices.
Missouri Verses and Voices is a new educational initiative. It was started in the summer of 2008 here in the Savannah and St. Joseph school systems. And then we had our first Missouri Verses and Voices festival last fall, 2008, which involved about 18 different schools and probably about 4,000 kids. In the program, the students interpret poetry of Missouri. And one of the founders of the organization is Walter Bargan, who is Missouri's poet laureate. And of course, what's nice about that is Walter's actually Missouri's first poet laureate. Missouri has never had a poet laureate till January 2008. And one of the final things Governor Matt Blunt did before leaving office was a decision that Missouri needed a state poet laureate. And so in January 2008, after the Missouri Center for the Book did a search and applications and interviews, it was decided that Missouri's first poet laureate would be Walter Bargan.
Why is it important for a state to have a poet laureate?
Our country has had a national poet laureate, I think, since about 1896, maybe even a little bit before. Certainly that takes us back to really kind of the forming in the late 19th century. And these persons who serve as the national poet laureate provide a focus of leadership in the area of poetry for America. And it was followed very quickly shortly after that. Again, here we're talking turn of the century from the 1800s to the 1900s. Several states decided they would do the same thing and create a poet laureate for their state. Last year, or in January of 2008, when the governor named a poet laureate for Missouri, I think we were the 47th state to actually get that done. And here today, not every state has a poet laureate, but obviously very few do not have a poet laureate. So it is kind of the norm. And so this person, who, as I said, is Walter Bargan, is kind of the focus of leadership for the state. And in that role, he provides information and does a lot of workshops with young people. But also, when requested by the governor or leadership bodies, the Senate or House of Representatives, will write poetry as needed.
What is the purpose of Missouri Verses and Voices?
The purpose probably can be best seen in its logo line, which is inspiring creative vision. In school, we have several arts programs. We have visual arts, we have interpretive or forensic arts, as it's sometimes called. We have music, we have theater arts. The thing that we wanted to do through Verses and Voices was create opportunities for the artists to collaborate together. And so we looked for a program, to design a program that would integrate their work together. And the thing that actually is the focus or the integrating factor in their creative work is poetry. So last year, for example, when we had our first Missouri Verses and Voices Festival, at that time, all the visual arts were to be inspired by poetry of Walter Bargan, since we were getting used to him as our poet laureate. And so the students could take a poem of Walter's, and they could take a line out of it or a section out of it. And, for example, visual artists would then create a drawing or a painting. There were two categories that they could work in. One was called illustrated poem or imagery, and the other one was called illustrated calligraphy. Curiously, not very many of our schools do artwork in calligraphy, but some of our teachers do. And so it was wonderful to see the artwork of the students as they interpreted Walter's poetry. It was very curious when Walter came to the festival last year and he looked at the paintings of his poetry and the imagery and the calligraphy, and he really, I learned a lot about him and the project at that time when he looked at the paintings and said, "Wow, I'm learning a lot about myself that I didn't know." So when he saw how the kids were inspired by his words, I think he also learned more about what his words meant.
Will you be having another festival?
This year we have two festivals. Our local festival is around the same time. The dates for that are Monday, October 19, and Tuesday, October 20. It involves a few more schools and programs this time. And it's a bit more expansive this time. One of the things I wanted to do was that instead of only working with the poetry of Walter Bargan, I wanted to allow the students to also work with other Missouri poets. And so at the festival concert, for example, the area high schools, their choirs each present two songs. Each presents a song by a Missouri composer. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that that person has to live here, because we have a lot of Missouri-related composers who don't actually live here in Missouri right now. For example, we commissioned a new song from Amy Beth Kirsten, a St. Louis native. Well, she's finishing up her doctoral studies in composition at Peabody Conservatory right now. And because she is a nationally recognized poet as well, when it came time for us to seek a commission for a new song, setting a poem of Walter Bargan, we thought Amy would be the excellent choice for that. Amy did complete that commission. She turned it in to us on August 1st. And it is a beautiful new extended work setting Walter's poem Hall of Waters. It was very important, and this is one of our main goals this year, was to commission a piece setting a poem of Walter's, and will be an ongoing goal of Missouri Verses and Voices, that each person who is named to be Poet Laureate from Missouri will have a song commissioned for them using one of their poems. So we're really excited because this first song by Amy Beth Kirsten is such a beautiful new work, and Walter's going to be so pleased. This new song won't be commissioned till the Governor's Verses and Voices Festival, which is in February of 2010. And the state level festival started to be developed this past summer when First Lady Georgia Ann Nixon became the honorary chairperson of Verses and Voices, and then Verses and Voices moved to the state level. So any school in Missouri can participate in this now. It's just that for our local festival, we do it together.
So is this an organization that got started here and now it's grown statewide, and do other states have this type of program, or is this new to this area?
It's completely new. It did start here in our area. Myself and Mary Ann Haney, the vocal music director in Savannah, were the original two founders. And the first person we contacted and invited to be a co-founder with us was Walter Bargan, Missouri's Poet Laureate. And Walter has been such an exciting part of this, and of course it's his efforts and work that has helped us move it to the state level as well, and then of course the First Lady's work as well. The connection there is that First Lady Georgia Ann Nixon, before her husband Governor Nixon was elected, served on the board of the Missouri Center for the Book, which was the organization that of course kind of pushed and brought Missouri to the point of making the decision of appointing a poet laureate. So she was really already in the leadership team behind the scenes that then recommended Walter Bargan to Governor Blunt.
What do you see in the future for this organization? Do you think it will expand beyond the borders of Missouri?
Yes, I think it will, and probably even by next year. It was very curious. We were very fortunate. Our first year, we've done so many first things, and it's been a very exciting project because of that. But, for example, we decided, well, we need money. What new organization doesn't? So we sent off an application to St. Louis, to the Missouri Arts Council. What a wonderful organization, and their leadership, especially I would name Ishida, Kiko Ishida there, and she has been such a wonderful guide for us in this application process. I don't know if I should say this or not, but when we sent our application, this was our first time to do this. And we knew that the total monies we could request was $10,000. Well, as it turns out, we entered our application in the wrong category. And the category we entered it in was multidiscipline. Well, as it turns out, our mistake was correct. It was the right category to enter it in because we involve every discipline of the arts. But as it turns out, in the multidiscipline field, the total amount you can receive is $30,000, not $10,000. And so the numbers we started working with Kiko's leadership just kind of blew our minds. And we were so excited when we got word that we had received a $17,000 grant to fund the two festivals and the work around the state this year. The first thing that the Missouri Arts Council did with our application was send the material to the National Endowment for the Arts at the national level. They were so impressed with the program, and they felt like this should be a program that the National Endowment for the Arts represents to the nation. And so we've been learning a lot about that, and appreciate the interest from the national level. And I do think that we will see this being born in several other states very soon.
Is it too late for people to become involved in the upcoming, the October festival?
Teachers can still get involved with this program, and I know some are still deciding to do that because of some of the new work we've added into the work that the students are doing. And then we added just this week the St. Joseph Community Chorus Chamber Choir, which I was really excited about that, to see them, their choral group, which actually I'm the director of that now. But since I'm so busy with the festival, I invited Frank Thomas, the previous artistic director for the St. Joseph Community Chorus, to direct them in the festival, which he is going to do. And they just started rehearsal of their two new songs for the festival last night. So, no, it's not too late.
What do they need to do to become involved?
If they're in the school system here in St. Joseph, they would contact Kevin Griffin or Darren Verbeck. If they're in Savannah, it would be best for them to contact Shirley Kiner, the director of visual art studies at the high school, or Mary Ann Haney. Obviously, as an executive director for the organization, she knows everything that's going on in Savannah as well as around the state. However, because of the involvement now of becoming an intergenerational experience for our community through the community chorus being involved, we'll also be looking for community artists who can do visual artwork interpreting their poetry that they're doing by a Missouri poet. And the song that they selected by a Missouri poet is entitled In Time of Silver Rain, which is actually set by a composer from Oklahoma now, Z. Randall Stroop. But the poetry of that song is by James Langston Hughes, who was born and lived the first 15 years of his life in Joplin, Missouri. And so if there are community artists of any age who want to do the interpretive visual artwork of that poem in collaboration with the community chorus chamber choir, they would need to contact me, and we could get them a copy of that poem for the calligraphy work or the imagery work for that.
Those interested in taking part in the festival can contact Dr. David Benz at 816-271-4428. The festival will be held at the Frederick Boulevard Baptist Church Monday and Tuesday, October 19th and 20th. The art exhibit opens at 5:30 each evening. The Poetry Interpretive Reading Contest begins Monday at 7:30. The festival concert will be Tuesday at 7:30. Tickets to the event are available from area high school choir members. For more information about Missouri Verses and Voices, its programs, and Missouri poets and composers, is available at versesandvoices.org.
This is another of those when I was a boy stories that made my kids look at each other and roll their eyes. Anyway, I was an avid reader of the pulps back when they were being published. These were fiction magazines that earned the name pulps because they were printed on cheap-looking ragged-edge paper. There were dozens of magazine titles on a variety of topics, from science fiction to horror to westerns and a lot of those, romance, and our topic for today, sports. These magazines have long been out of business. To put it mildly, the stories they published were not great literature, but then I wasn't much of an intellectual, and I loved them. The stories were totally formulaic. Each subject had maybe four or five possible plot lines that were reenacted with a little variety over and over. I especially liked the sports pulps. There were really just a couple of basic storylines. One was about the over-the-hill athlete who has a last great year and leads his team to victory. Another was the rookie story, usually about someone who's like the kid who gets sand kicked in his face. He finally stands up for himself, practices a lot, and leads his team of losers to victory. Almost all of them had plots that lead up to the big game at the end, with the downtrodden team triumphing. Sports fiction has moved from the pulps to film these days. Think The Natural for a classy version. There are lots of such movies, and here's another with Gasp, a girl hero, and a girl's downtrodden team. It's Whip It, with a sport I'd never heard of, the roller derby. In Whip It, Bliss Cavender is a 17-year-old high school student in a small Texas town whose mother pushes her into beauty contests. Bliss hates that routine but wants to please her pushy mother. Then, one night, she goes with a friend to a roller derby. In these contests, two teams of girls chase each other around a rink. The ladies, so to speak, take on funky names like Misfit. I'm sort of hazy about the rules, but it involves who gets around the circle fastest and who gets knocked around the most. It's a definitely rough-and-tumble sport with distinctly unladylike behavior. The film's title comes from one of the plays, The Whip. Anyway, after the match, one of the girls on a downtrodden Girl Scouts team, which has never won a game, suggests Bliss try out. The game's pretty much the opposite of beauty contests, so Bliss decides to get out her Barbie skates and go for it. She's underage, of course. The players are supposed to be 21. She lies, but it comes back to bite her. Of course, she's terrible on skates, the version of the kid with sand in his face, but she practices a lot, and since she's about as big as a loaf of bread, she's fast and can slip between the bigger women. The scouts' coach, Razor, can't get the team to care about winning. But of course, they have to get mad and get together and so forth. And since this is a Formula Sports story, Bliss becomes a star, and so it goes. But this is a bit more than a sports movie. It's also a coming-of-age story. Bliss, played by Ellen Page, Juno's star, must have majored in cuteness. So she has to go through the agonies of adolescence, indecision about what she wants to do with her life, a little romance with a low-level and low-life rock singer, troubles with her dominating mom, you know, like that. But that's all background for the roller derby games. Drew Barrymore directed and has a part in the film, her first effort behind the camera and a successful one. It's definitely a girl film and all about girl bonding. The film establishes the game as the glue that bonds Bliss and her friends. But ladies can be confident in taking significant others without getting complaints after the film. Barrymore has lots of tracking shots with a camera following the girl skaters at about hip high. The girls wear ultra-micro miniskirts and black mesh pantyhose, so we get a fetching view of their shapely bottoms roaring around the rink. Of course, I enjoyed Whippet, only for its engaging storyline and excellent performances. Oops, my nose just grew about an inch. Well, maybe the costume had a little to do with it. Anyway, I can give Whip 3.5 bags of popcorn out of 5 as an entertaining night out and maybe throw in a medium soft drink.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website at kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of our program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.